You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Seb Sanders here with you on this edition to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. We're also going to have a look back at the Derby, of course, from Saturday. Recording this prior to Sunday's racing. Mr. Sanders, how are you?
I'm in good form. Had a nice sleep last night.
Good.
And, yeah, refreshed and ready to go.
And you were in the William Hill Racing Radio Studio on Saturday. Of course, Derby Day. And we saw a bit of a shock, didn't we, in the big one?
Yeah, it was. I've yet to watch the race again. I'll probably have to watch it about three or four times to get a grip of what it was all about.
But,
it was an odd race. They were stretched out a long way. It was like watching two races.
Mm.
And... yeah, you're always going to get a result like that when a race is run like that.
Wings of Eagles, your winner at 40-1, beat Cliffs of Moher into second at 5-1, with Cracksman back in third, the 7-2 favourite. But take the winner out of it, if you like, and at least the odds would suggest that the right kind of horses were there or thereabouts. But at the same time, the race just had such an odd feel to it. Wings of Eagles looked not even slightly in contention at so many different stages of the race. The pace has just collapsed. It was pretty similar to Pour Moi, of course,
yeah.
the sire of Wings of Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was just, I don't know whether it's because there were so many runners in the race or what, but the pace of the race was, you know, as far as I was watching, was far, far too strong.
Yeah.
And a lot of people got rolling along with the race far too early, I thought.
Mm.
Wings of Eagles can do nothing but win, and it might prove out to be a worthy winner.
I was going to say, you often, people can discount races as being weak ones. Mm. It could be that in a year or two we look at that and go, actually, Wings of Eagles has gone from strength to strength following that. Could happen.
It could well do that. I mean, you know, he's ran some decent races in decent company running into the race.
Mm.
And, you know, probably should have run some sort of race anyway, but... I just seem to feel that the way the race was run really suited him. Whether he'll get conditions like that again is very, very unlikely. But horses can prove you wrong, and, you know, I hope he does, because, you know, it's nice that the Blue Ribbon event has the Blue Ribbon winner.
Yeah, exactly. And congratulations to Paddy Beggy as well, who...
Absolutely amazing.
It's a phenomenal story, isn't it?
Amazing, amazing.
We always say how the Grand National always has a story to it. The Derby maybe doesn't all the time, but this is... It's up there, isn't it?
Well, yeah. He's a household name now for a few days anyway.
Yeah.
But good luck to him. It must be an absolute thrill.
Mm. Congratulations to Connections, then, of Wings of Eagles, the winner of the 2017 Derby from Epsom. We're recording this at around about 1:30 on Sunday afternoon, and we learnt of some sad news on Sunday morning, the passing of Dandy Nichols at the age of 61. Of course, Seb, we were mentioning him just before we started recording this. He provided you with a number of big race victories, and will be sorely missed.
Yeah, I mean, we were only talking about him yesterday. I won the Dash for him on Atlantic Viking, but that was one of... numerous winners I'd rode for Dandy over the years. I'd won the Nunthorpe and Bahamian Pirate, and won a few pattern races on Rudy's Pet as well. really, really sad. And what can you say? Mm. The feel for, you know, Adrian and all the siblings, wish them all the best, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Condolences to Dandy's family, of course, at this difficult time. Right, we'll turn our attention then to Monday's racing. And the last time that we recorded a podcast together, Seb, I think we were forced to look at some jumps action.
I don't think I did too bad, you know.
No, but that's not why we hire you, is it? I'm assuming we are paying you still. Is that still a thing? Yeah?
I think it's doubled.
Okay, I don't. We're going to look at two races at Leicester and two at Windsor. Leicester on Monday afternoon and Windsor, as is the norm, on Monday evening. We'll start with a 3.20 from Leicester. It is a handicap coming up over a mile and two. Plenty of respected connections in this race, Seb. Plenty of likely types, plenty of horses coming off the back of a win, and that makes it very difficult indeed to find a winner. What's on your shortlist?
Well, there's three horses that stand out, which is Conrad,
yes,
Interweave and Hakim. And they're going to be the principals. This is a race to be watching the betting because there's a few sneaky ones in amongst the field that is hard to work out. But yeah, of the ones that have form, these are the three. I'd be on the side of Conrad.
Yeah.
He's got a good draw in three and looks set to improve on his fifth at Windsor, where he slipped on the bend.
Mm-hmm.
And the trip shouldn't be a problem. Interweave comes into this with good form. The worrying thing is one at Chelmsford, and they've put a set of visors on, and that would really sort of put me off, really.
Yeah.
And drawn out in 12. Hakim, wouldn't be surprised for it to go and win.
Again, betting could be key for that
betting,
one.
If that was strong in the betting, you'd be really worried about that. But I'm going to stick with Conrad, with what I've got in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a race full of potholes, or... You know, it's there's a few what I would call smelly ones.
Yeah, and it'd be no surprise that in 6 months' time you look back at this race and go, well, there's winners coming out to field left, right and centre. That doesn't make it much easier on Monday, though, does it?
No, not really, but these are the sort of races you'll pick horses out that are going to go and be Saturday horses.
Yes, exactly. Well, interesting, we said if there's money for Hakim, that could be key. On debut, opened sevens, went off 12s. Still managed to get the job done. So,
yeah,
for all that we've said that, just another caveat to throw into the mix. Certainly a wide-open race, the 3.20 at Leicester, but Comrade Conrad, the selection for Roger Charlton and Kieran Schumach, coming out of stall four in that contest. The 4.55 from Leicester is a Phillies condition stakes over 7 furlongs. Just the 6 of them set to go to post here, and you've got a real mix of horses with fully-fledged, solid form. Some who've got bits and pieces of form that probably isn't quite good enough for this. And then the real eye-catcher, if you like, in the Khalid Abdullah silks is Present Tense, who's thoroughly unexposed. Stepped markedly up on her debut run when winning at Yarmouth, was beaten 14 lengths at Leicester on debut. Stepped up on that at Yarmouth when fairly well found in the market. But despite the fact that we don't have many runners in this, Seb, it still looks a bit of a minefield.
It's nigh on impossible because you've got same jurisdiction, Group 1 winner in South Africa. You've got Bletchley, who finished second in the Albany. And then you've got this Present Tense that is thrown in there at the deep end. It's going to have an official rating, I think, of about 88.
Mm.
And so on the ratings, it's got well over a stone to find. So it's a real difficult race, and I'm almost a believer, unless there's a lot of money for Present Tense, I think this should go to same jurisdiction.
South African horse.
Yeah, it's the classiest horse in the race, I feel. Bletchley is hard to sort of get a grasp of.
But some of her form, as you said, the second at Royal Ascot last year would put her probably in with an absolute favourite's chance in this.
Yeah.
You look at the last run that she had at Ayr, that was really disappointing. And you can make excuses for that, but at the same time, she'd need to have trained on. She'd need to be fully
fit. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, we don't know if she's going to be trained on. So I'm taking the safe option with same jurisdiction because she is the class filly in the race. And, you know, you sort of think that there's going to be a true run race with Hell's Babe if it runs in the race, and it ran the other day at Musselburgh, but you'd likely think that would rock up. It ran a decent race the other day at Musselburgh, actually, and If that rocks up, that'll probably make the running, which will make everything a lot easier. But I think same jurisdiction is a class filly in the race.
Mm-hmm.
There's question marks about Bletchley and training on. Present tense, it's a big ask, but then again, they wouldn't have thrown it in here if they didn't think it was good enough.
No, that's true. Okay, but we're going to stick with the same jurisdiction.
Definitely.
Okay, as you mentioned, a Grade 1 winner in South Africa. But what I would say, Seb, is it's not like this horse is making its British debut and we're sort of still trying to translate that form. Does have a solid run under its belt from Doncaster, which was five lengths behind Spangled, and since then went on to be beaten in the Prix de la Forêt behind L'Amato. At least we know the kind of level that same jurisdiction is up to running in these colours and in this country.
Yeah, I mean, she's got an official rating, I think, about 1.8, 1.07.
1.07 it is, yeah.
And, you know, it's a pretty good mark, especially for an old horse, and to have run to it as well.
Yeah.
There's no question marks over a form, whereas the others, we're guessing.
Yeah, potential improvers, but that's all they are, right?
Yeah, we're guessing.
Potential. Okay, so same jurisdiction gets the nod in the 4.55 from Leicester. We'll turn our attention to the evening racing then, and we'll start at Windsor. The 7.10 is a handicap over the extended mile and 3-furlong trip. 10 of them set to go to posts, and what strikes me here, just looking at the bare form, if you like, of the majority of runners, not many prolific winners in this race.
No, but I think it's a decent enough race. There's a lot of horses that did really well last year, and their form's petered out. They've ran once this year and ran like they're going to improve. So it's a race of full of horses that are going to improve a lot. And I thought it was actually quite a decent race and a race you want to keep your eye on for the future too, because I think there's a few horses in here that potentially are improvers.
Which ones have made it onto your shortlist then, Seb?
I've got Opposition. I thought his first run of the season was decent enough and would improve a fair bit. West Drive. They've put the cheek pieces on this, so they obviously thought he's a bit lazy. But in saying that, his fourth at Lingfield was decent. Yeah, it wasn't beaten that far and would improve a fair bit.
And has won here before.
Yeah. And SNH at the bottom. I thought Course and Distance was second last time and would be there or thereabouts. Real hard to sort of make a case for many of the others, but I'm going to side with Essenach, I think.
Okay.
It's done well around the track. It's drawn in 10, which over this sort of trip would be on the inside to begin with. So would be drawn well enough. So I'll side with Essenach.
Okay, for David Evans, right down at the bottom there, carrying bottom weight. Essenach, who does like it here as well, it's fair to say, gets the nod for Seb in Windsor's 7.10. The final race we're going to focus on is the 7.40 from Windsor. Handicap coming up over 6 furlongs here. Plenty that we know plenty about here, Seb. A few that we don't know quite as much as we'd like to about. But this is, we've looked at some open races already today. This is pretty much as wide open as you can get.
Yeah, but the worry about this race is, I know it's 6 furlongs. I'm not sure we're guaranteed pace.
Okay.
So horses that are coming from off the pace, you know, there might just be a little bit, you know, a little bit short of room when you get across the junction, because everyone will be on top of each other. So it might be a little bit messy.
Yeah.
I've gone with actually Ice Age here. His form is absolutely rock solid. Has been placed at Newbury and Goodwood and comes in here in the best of form, and I think Eve Johnson and all horses are absolutely flying at the minute.
She's been in fantastic form, hasn't she?
Yeah. Of the others, I thought the top weight here, Upstage, second horse, Upstage, and I thought he was a very good each way shout. Had great form last year. I think he won 3 races on the belt, and his first run this year was a solid effort.
They certainly aren't disgraced at Goodwood. Finished 9th, but
yeah, but only beaten, 4.5 lengths or something.
Yeah.
And I thought he would improve a fair bit. And he's drawn in 5, which is a good draw and a straightforward ride. Of the others, I did think the top weight spring loaded had an each way shout as well.
Okay.
But a very difficult heat, because I'm just worried that there's no pace, and I think there'll be a right jam when they cut across the junction.
Okay, but hoping that Ice Age can come out on top.
I think Ice Age is probably the in-form horse in the race.
Yeah. Okay, Ice Age, worth a look then in the 7:40 at Windsor. Great stuff, Seb. Can you just spin us through your four fancies for Monday? The two at Leicester and then the two at Windsor.
Conrad.
That's in the 3:20 at Leicester. 4:55.
Same jurisdiction.
And then we move to Windsor for the 7:10.
Essenach.
And the 7:40.
Ice Age.
Great stuff, Seb. Thanks very much for joining me, and we'll catch up with you soon on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.